Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Ourselves as Christians tonight, and I want to appeal to you. These messages you are hearing, you never know, this may be the last time you will hear something like this. Please do something with what you are hearing. Let's read from verse 5, Revelation chapter 2. We have a long way to go. He said, now this was where Jesus, our Lord, has spoken to them about they should go back to their first love. So this is the following verse. He says, remember therefore from whence you are fallen, repent and do what? The first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless what? Do you see the condition Jesus put there? He said, I don't care who you are. You may be a pastor, you may be whatever. You may be a church member, your friend may be a bishop, archbishop. You may be very rich. The whole world may be kissing your feet. Jesus said, if you do not repent, I will take you out. Revelation chapter 2 is that Jesus is the one talking. Now, when you look at the choice of words and the language that Jesus used when he was on earth, now look at the way he's talking. He seems to have a bit of some temper or some anger in the tone of his voice in Revelation chapter 2. And please, I'm saying this, I'm begging. Because let me tell you, it doesn't matter. You see, if you don't know why, if you have not found your reason to live righteously, max 100 years, you are gone. And you'll be standing face to face with a holy and a righteous God. And may I remind you, there is no heaven for any old woman or old man that didn't live for God. That you died at the age of 80 does not mean God will become emotional. Nobody will stand before God on that day and say, you are the reason why I didn't follow you. No. No. So I'm begging you, let's help each other. Let's live righteously. A lot of the noise we do, see, you just have to stop for it. Just take 2 days out, stop whatever you are doing, and look at what you refer to as Christianity today. And ask yourself, this Christianity that has become so popular today, is this still the one Jesus spoke about, for which Jesus, our Lord, told us that broad is the way that leads to what? Broad is the way that leads to what? That leads to destruction. It allows for everybody. This faith for which Peter died and people refused to become Christians because our way of life was too one kind. Nobody wanted to associate with us because you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. And you have excuse for everything. And Jesus told us, he said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus told us, he said, narrow. How long are we going to keep making excuses? How long? Now, if I'm struggling with sin, I cannot come to you, I cannot come to him, because he's also struggling. If I go to him, he will tell me, don't worry, just plead the blood of Jesus. Just plead the blood of Jesus 7 times, you know? It is where, it's one of those things. I go to him for rest. I cannot even go to him. He will tell me that, just one of those things. He doesn't even have any salvation to give me. He doesn't know the way to heaven to point me to, because he is also struggling. No church will live above his emphasis. No church, no group of Christians will live above their emphasis. If we are not talking about living righteously, Jesus said, remember where you fell. Because sometimes we just want to repent and move on. Just say, wait. It is godly sorrow that leads to repentance. That godly sorrow is what we call remember. Before you repent and start crying, because any two things you start crying, let's look at what happened. How did you get here? This difficult conversation that we don't want to have is why we are still falling. Which is what makes even you being able to forgive yourself difficult. Because even when you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I went there again, I know what I did. But because you didn't even take stock. You know, I said we are talking to us now. Eh? So I'm part of you. Because we didn't take stock of how we even got to that bus stop. We know what we did. We planned it was going to happen. God, we forgive. And now, God, you have asked for forgiveness in your mind, according to the word of God, God has forgiven everything. But you, your conscience, has refused to release you. So weeks after, you are struggling. People don't know what's wrong with you, but you know it is still that matter. It's still that matter. You have tried to induce and kill the pain with movies. It will work for a while. Then, you know, just 5-10 minutes before you sleep, your head will be correct. Everything will just be calm around you. You will remember again that what you did. A lady was speaking, and I tried to spend some time on the internet because I like to gauge what exactly I'm dealing with. I listened to a pastor, he's a priest. He's not homosexual, but if he preaches the homosexual doctrine, and he was challenging an evangelist and saying, you are causing hatred in the body of Christ. You are the one not allowing people to embrace Jesus Christ. And the brother was like, I'm just here to share the gospel. Why are you attacking me? And the man, they went on and on and on and on and on and on. And they said, and then I concluded. Everybody loves God, including sinners. But if you want to walk with Him, you must fear Him. Come on, say it with me. Everybody loves God. If you want to walk with Him, you must walk in the fear of God. If you don't, and for you to walk in the fear of God, you must know who He is. Look at the tone of this language. No, but this is in the Bible we are reading. No? Look at the way Jesus was talking to the Ephesian church. That was the church He gave the fivefold, the revelation of the fivefold to. Look at the depth of revelation that Paul brought through that church. It was different from the one He gave the Corinthian church. Paul didn't accuse that church of sleeping with their brother's wife. Oh? Of somebody sleeping. They were talking about realms and dimensions. Go and read Ephesians. Realms and dimensions. If you want to go to believers meetings where they are talking about deep things, they talk about Ephesians. How did we get to that point where God is now someone we can relate with when we like? No fear. Why is our prayer altar gathering ashes? And we think God understands. Yet we will do anything to meet up with a report or a deadline in the office because we serve mammon. There's no fear. You see, the fear of God and the love of God, they are somewhat connected because in some ways, I could say I'm afraid of my wife. But it's not the type of fear like, in some way, you are afraid of her. If you and I, I think we would have been best friends. But if you and I decided to go somewhere and just have a few bottles, because me, I have the ability to influence people to do evil. If I decide, let's just go, where's your wife? She somewhere in the cage. Okay, let's go to VI. You see, you will be feeling your wife's shadow behind, like. Somewhere in your mind, you are just like, like, what am I, like, as we are leaving the island, you say, hold on, let's stop at this shopping mall, buy water. You might even say to me, you know what, let me buy a toothbrush and toothpaste. At 1,000 for that from you brush. People see you brushing, they're like, what's wrong with this man? It's his wife. Me, my wife has traveled, so I don't have to worry. He's going to brush. You see, but the smell is in his head. Yeah. It's that feeling of my wife who just knows something. So she's not there. She might even be watching Netflix. But just that, something is like, no, I need to clean up. And you know what happens? Once he gets home, the wife wants to hug him. He's not too... Because somehow she might... especially if she has been around Akoa before. She was just, where are you coming from? That's the next question. I went to the island, just relax. You and who? You and Pastor Benga. I said, I'm not convinced. Some people, where are you going? Maybe you and Pastor, you have been having a few bottles and discussing about the problem of Nigeria. Let us know. Then while on the way, he will see one of those malams, he will buy Tom Tom. In traffic, he would lick Tom Tom, 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 lick Tom Tom. Anything to take away the cigarette smell and sense of alcohol. You see, it's called holy fear. Because once you deviate, anyone in your life that stands as an arrow or a pointer to what your life should be like, you will find that you are moving away from them. You may not even want to stay in the same room with your children, even though they may not know what's going on. Because once you see them, you see where you are falling. Let me tell you, where we are now, church, listen to me. Our holiness cannot only be individualistic, it must be corporate. In other words, we must help each other remain holy. The days of everybody knows, everybody's friends. No. You must know that if you are struggling and you come to me, the first thing I will say is, let's kneel down and pray. Some people, the way they ask you for details, it's as if they want to go and tell everybody, somebody what, they need the details to prove to people that you are a sinner. Because I don't know why you're asking, I told you I sinned. The way you're even asking about the thing is like, that thing is going online very soon. And Harvest World, this was a message given to a church. And that, which means an average person in that church had this problem. They had fallen. It doesn't mean everybody in Ephesus fell. But a lot of people, over the law of average, they had that problem. And Jesus said, look, remember where you fell. It's not just about God, forgive me. Remember where you fell. If you don't prioritize me, you will keep falling. If you don't see any need in calling upon my name and trusting in me, asking for grace for every day, you will keep falling. Come on, say, Lord, I need your grace. He said, remember where thou hast fallen and repent. When he said you should repent, it means turn back and put accountability structures around you so that you don't necessarily have to go that route again. He said, then begin to do the first works. What are the first works? He said, you are forsaking your first love. First love there refers to your devotion. How you initially used to serve the Lord. That you used to be passionate about God when you are on campus, and now that life is happening to you, you decided to be matured. You are backsliding. God says, remember how you used to be so excited about me. Until you recover that excitement, you have not found your first love. Don't even play and say, life is happening to us. That excitement you had that made you skip class and go run to your campus fellowship. You are not the one preaching, no. But there was a joy in your heart that could make you even call your client and say, come, Tinuke, how are you? Say, you're on your way, I'll be sit down. Let's talk. Tinuke, every time I see you, I see someone with God's hand over him. But I don't know. Peradventure, what's your relationship with God like? You know why you can't preach? Because the moment you get to them, I say, are you born again? The moment you put that in, it, even for me as a Christian, I just feel repelled. There's no empathy, there's no concern, there's no genuine feeling of for redemption. You understand? You are just, it's more like a brutal attack. It doesn't look like an attack because you first told me Jesus loves me, but actually I still feel attacked, you know. And now Satan is doing a good job giving a separate definition for who Christ is using Christians on social media. Jesus said, if you do not repent and do the first works, I will come unto you quickly. Quickly, quickly. That's the key word. Say quickly. The moment I see that you want repentance, but you don't want accountability, I will remove you from your place of influence. That's what Jesus said. I will turn off your light. I will take out your fire. I will just leave you in a place where you will be in what we can call the outer darkness. Let me tell you, if you want to have a very strong aura around you spiritually, you must have a powerful prayer life. You must live a holy life. Those two things, among others, very important. I didn't say you are not making mistake. I said you must have a powerful prayer life, because prayer generates atmosphere. Whatever you are praying to will give you his aura, whether God or Satan. Number two is that you live a holy life. And you cannot live a holy life without the word of God and prayer. That thing in your head that tells you know most of the things in the Bible is why you are struggling. Because his word is new every morning. He says, but this, oh my God, I've not even entered my message. This you have that I really appreciate. There was something that they also had that God really loved. He said, you ate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. These Nicolaitans, this is a very serious matter. We don't find a lot of information about them in scripture, but history has certain records. So let me quickly give you this. In Revelation chapter 2, I'm giving you a historical record now. It refers to practices and teachings. That is, the deeds of the Nicolaitans refers to practices and teachings that Jesus condemned. That's historical record. And that Nicolaitans is people. It suggested it's from a particular name, Nicholas or something. So there was probably one of those guys who lived there, who propagated that theory. And there are one or two, three, I'm having a few areas that is suggested to be related to the Nicolaitan doctrine. Number one, they talk about moral compromise. In other words, sexual sin and eating food offered to idols. The deeds of the Nicolaitans will state that because we are in Christ and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, whatever we do with our body does not matter. It is our spirit that is saved. And that when Jesus comes, he will perfect our body. Are we together? All right. So there used to be a lot of pagan feasts. Several idols that was very popular, and you find that they, just the way we have national holidays, they used to have a lot of those feasts, and a lot of Christians were usually being seduced to participate in those things. And the doctrine of Nicolaitans will tell you that it doesn't matter, you just keep your faith in Christ. Number two, false doctrine. Their teaching may have distorted Christian liberty with license, encouraging believers to live however they pleased under the guise of grace. I'm reading it out online. All right? And this contradicts New Testament holiness. So, number three, the teachings of Balaam and the Nicolaitans are mentioned side by side. Do you know why Balaam became a sorcerer. Despite the Lord saying, don't do this. And he tried to refrain. But later he fell into the trap of the love of money. Then he went a step further and told that evil man, that king, how to break through the defense of the Israelites. I think we should do a teaching on that. I don't even know. I would have told you to. You are the perfect person to talk about Balaam, Pastor Buki. Because now I'm just thinking about it. And you can just take that idea and bring it into the New Testament, like God is our defense. But that man went a step further, despite warnings from God, to tell the enemy, anytime you cannot break through these people, this is what you need to do. And what was his suggestion? Who remembers? Who remembers? $10. Who remembers? He told that king, he said, get very fine girls, in Nigerian language. Get very attractive. Not the ones that are just average. Oh. The ones that invest in themselves. The ones that don't think the original Bone Straight is too expensive. The ones that when you see them, you start shouting, Jesus, Jesus, because you know you are finished. It's not that I say that, that pastor is talking about holiness. Just give me 2 days with him. Hey? May the Lord defend his own. There are some people you should never pray against. The first thing you need to do is shut your eyes. If you try to pray against them with your eyes open, you will not survive it. So don't. Get a body. As God continues to bless you, get bodyguards. Do you understand? Both physical and spiritual. Well, because the angels might be slow in this one, so you need to get bodyguards. So, Balaam was... Pastor Tokwe, this is your type of message. When you preach next, Ejo, this is Balaam. Pastor Tokwe looks very gentle, but this, if he enter you with this... Sorry, let me just... Because of our American audience... Because they won't understand all these African Nigerian innuendos. Uh-huh. Yeah, I wanted to say if you enter them from 11, you just so Balaam told that brother, it's not a brother, who is it? He told that guy, he said, get fine girls. They were not to see anything. What demons could not penetrate, fine girls did. Isn't that amazing? I know who I am, I believe. Bro, you are too loud. They will come for you. The higher you grow in grace, the higher the possibility of your fall. So if you love your pastor and your ministers, pray for them. Not you just open your mouth and be saying what you don't know. Because you didn't see what they saw. You are not a target. He is. They brought girls who are not restricted by the barrier. Those girls came in. The Israelites could not control themselves. The defense was broken. Oh, there was a massacre. Go and read the New Testament opinion on Balaam. It's like he was, there was no, they didn't even refer to him like he was once a prophet or was a sorcerer. Balaam would not make everyone. And in case you think Balaam was a small prophet, Balaam declared about himself. He said, I am Balaam, the one who sees visions with my eyes open. He's not a small prophet. He was operating the level of Moses and Samuel. And he was not a Christian. He was not a Jewish man. But out of every time, even though when God was, you know, trying to do something with the Israelites, he always had a remnant company. He always had one or two people like Cyrus. He had one or two people who are not in the commonwealth that he gave the opportunity as a testament that a time will come that the Gentiles also will come. Balaam said, when you pray and fast to see vision, me with my eyes open, I enter into visions of God. Who is your mate? Who is your daddy? Not your mate. I'm a prophet too. That your pastor in mail and just shouting, you pray before you see vision. Me, I just do like this. I will tell you your story. I'm the sharpest prophet. And he revealed the major secret. So the doctrine of this sexual immorality, Balaam and Nicolaitans, closely related. Maybe I should leave this. We'll talk about it some other time. But did you record those points? All right. I thought this was supposed to be part two. I'm supposed to look into the second church today. Anyway, let's look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, come on, say, I will overcome. I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Come on, say, that's my portion. Now, we don't have enough time to stay here, but this is a beautiful promise, which means for every moment, every time you take a decision for righteousness, to stand with God, there's always a reward. And I'm so amazed, like, you know, I just thought, but why didn't Satan, the serpent, tell Adam and his wife the moment they ate that other fruit, oh yeah, quickly eat of the fruit of life, so that when it comes, you become untouchable. For you to see how wicked that voice in your ears is. That serpent that is always telling you to stay away from God. And only it's only God that knows who is serving him. Eh? The devil could not even say, okay, now that we are together, we are jelly. This one is insurance. Eat this one. The moment they ate it, did the serpent say any other thing? He vanished. Left them to go and sort out with God. And God was so angry. There's really no reason for any woman to have to sweat to have a child. Have you seen a goat giving birth before? No help. It's like, what? This old thing about hustling and hustling and hustling, and sometimes at 35, when somebody will say, okay, what do you want to do to your life? I say, guys, sometimes you're even confused. AI has made everything so difficult. Because if you decide you want to do this one now, they'll say next to me, what is left now is for AI to be sewing clothes. We'll soon get there. I said we'll soon get there. For all of you thinking that we are coming for you, fashion designers, we are there.
Yes.
Oh, I need to run an update too. Where's my iOS? Ah, it's like you're on 14 Pro Max. Are you? It's like you're on 14 Pro. You've not listened to last Sunday message. Oh, Tigbo. We analyzed that one. Say to him that overcometh, will I give to it? That means you can't want it by desiring it. You can't get it. You can't eat of the tree of life by simply wanting it. It is Jesus that will say, my son, you tried. My daughter, yeah, come. Satabale sorosa. I give you authority. Death will no longer have power over you. And he will introduce. Why? Because you overcame. And by God's grace, that will be our testimony.
Amen.
I said that will be our testimony.
Amen.
Voice to the churches, part two. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. It's not a suggestion. Whatever I say, write it. Because they may want to argue with their keypad and say, maybe you are talking from your mind. Write and say, I'm the one. He said, this thing says the first and the last. This is not the writing of John. John is just the pen. I was listening to one Muslim guy. Come here, I listen to Muslim debates a lot. It was like, the Bible is several translations. Just arguing. So the evangelist said, how do you know? He said, open to the New King James Version. He said, look at the preface. It's there, written boldly. This is how the evangelist was looking at it.
He said, we have decided to release the New King James Version because of the errors that was found, inconsistencies in the King James Version. I say, oh, boy, Timua. This guy has caught us. You know what the evangelist said, Baba? You know what he said? He said, who wrote that thing? He said, the authors. He said, point of correction, not authors. Not authors. This Bible has only one author. Oh, come on. He said, you mean the publishing house? The translators? You mean they wrote that? Because that thing you just read is not part of any part of the Bible. I jumped up on my bed. Azalima. Oh, I said, God, give some people this wisdom. I mean, he said, my voice called loud. The argument was on TikTok. Oh, but see the way I was, yeah, give it to me, bro. Hey, let me not, it's a long gist. But that part, I felt energized. You know, you had reading preface and all those things. He now asked the Muslim guy a question. I said, who wrote the Quran? He said, the Quran is pure from heaven, from where? He said, the guy now said, so the man now said, okay. You know, that would have been a good argument before the days of the internet. Yeah. He said, now we have Christians who do PhD in Islamic studies, who research. And we know for a fact that when the demon that you call in Gabriel appeared to your prophet and said, read, the first thing he said was, I cannot read. In that cave. So if the prophet could not read, who wrote these things? He said it is on record that the Quran was written years after Muhammad died. He said it's on record that there were many copies of the Quran, and there was a particular king who was a Muslim, who the same way Constantine tried to select 66 books, that king brought together all the different versions. And he burnt them and said, we only adopt one. Even so, as of today, the Quran still has about 50 different versions. But they don't tell you. You don't know. You take your matter to social media, so they have you. You cannot be a Christian with you say you are in the spirit, you are foreign land. You have to develop your mind. Because the warfare is here. Peter tells us, say, be ready to give an answer when there is a question that is placed on your faith. You must be ready. Why do you think the Bible is the word of God? Prove it to me without quoting the Bible. That's the day you realize you are not you've been going about with the eucalyptus of the dimension of the spirit and the dimension of the terrestrial will be swallowed up by the celestial and we are going to press into God. Oh God, will you keep quiet? This eye sounding nonsense. It's not a sign of depth. It may be a sign that you don't even know what you are doing. People are not growing, but they are filled in their head with very powerful words, as if Jesus spoke English. Jesus spoke Aramaic, broken, what you would have called broken English today. If Jesus was on earth today, most of us would not follow him, because we are too educated for him. He didn't speak Roman language. He didn't speak Greek. If you go to his meeting, my father talks. I beg. Let's go and watch Premiership. What is this? My father talks. Can you speak proper English? Say, no, I didn't go to school. And you say, you are what again? Say, you are the son of God. Say, Chike, I beg. I say, now go soon start. So before you blame those who lived in that, they crucified him. They had good reasons. For the same reason, you cannot marry a man that is not a graduate. I catch you. All right. So I told myself I'm very serious today that today, fire for fire, you people have entered my head. He said, this thing says the first and the last. Do you know God is still the first and the last? Do you know that? As it pertains to you, he's still in control. Do you know that you've not lost any time? Said, please put all the scripture. He said, these things see it the first and the last, which was dead. In case you are wondering who is talking, I was the one they hung. Huh? And they killed. Huh?
that Jesus, that they tried to control his history and say he didn't resurrect. That's me. He said, and now I'm alive. Next verse. Simnia, I know thy works. Say one. I know your tribulation. Say two. Which means this particular church was a church that was so persecuted. They went through hell to be Christians. He said, I know your poverty. Which means if you go to a similar church, you will not hear anybody say, hallelujah, brother. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Shout if you believe. When you go to a seminar church, most likely what you find is, he's able, abundantly able, to deliver and to save. My God is able, abundantly able, to deliver those who trust in him. They are not expecting the keyboardist. The drummer is not important. When you come, find a seat, because you will likely meet us saying, he's able. That's what they were doing. After that, praise worship, they pray. They do Sunday school, ask questions. Then the Sunday school coordinator say, round up, please, let us round up. Victory class. How many of you remember? Victory class. I know you guys are having a good time. Praise the Lord. Let's come together. Amen. Amen. Those are the fun. Those are the very interesting times in church. You know, they didn't have all the shoes, so they were poor. So they have to acclimatize. Put up a scripture. So that's a similar church. You say, even though you are poor, people say you are poor, but actually you are rich because you are able to serve God and withstand tribulation. He said, and I know the blasphemy of them, which you know, which say they are Jews and are not, but at the synagogue of Satan. This was a church that had discernment. They had discernment. They know where the headquarter of Satan is in their poverty, even though nobody believes them. No, because they don't have money. Is that like someone telling you that? Do you know the only time a rich man can believe a poor man? Is if he's looking for, if he's trying to ask for directions. The man just looks like, okay, it's like this man, the way I'm here, he will know this area. Say, hey, Josa, Egbon, my brother, God bless you, sir. Please, sir, I'm going to Shodeke Street. Shodeke. Ah, okay. Take your left, take your right, straight down. Which rich man has time to be telling you? If you like, get lost. Use your Google map. What's your problem? You see me talking to my girlfriend, asking me where Shodeke. Shodeke is everywhere. Get lost. Do you see rich men asking themselves for direction? They are too proud. You get lost too. And you just say, baby, forget about him. Just wind up your glass. You know what? Let's leave this place. Everybody just knocking on the door. But you see a poor man, he's most likely on the road. He has no windshield. He has nothing to say. Enjoy, Egbon. He said, because once you, if you don't die, they won't answer. Poor people can be very proud too sometimes. So he said, say, Egbon. He said, when you humble yourself, they help you. Yeah. You to try and humble yourself so they can help you. Give my scripture, please. Give me the next verse. So they walked in discernment. Look at what our Lord said to them. He said, fear none of the things which you will suffer. Me, I thought that if Jesus was already praising them like this, he would tell them, don't worry, very soon I'll build a cathedral for you. All of you will have houses. Jesus said, more suffering. The church is quiet. He said, the devil shall cast some of you where? Into prison. Those are the people you want to go and stand with on the day of judgment and collect crown. These people. Don't you think you should hide your head? See, let me tell you, and this is where I need to bring some balance to this. There are certain people, by virtue of their calling, they will go to prison. That's how God has willed it. You can't, it's just like telling Peter, we come against your senior pastor, we come against prison, suffering, you have sold your sheep, you follow Jesus, by God's grace, you will live long. You are praying long life for Paul. Do you understand? Nobody told Paul, don't marry. He just weighed it. Yeah. If I marry, the girl will die before me, so it's better, let me just hold myself. But there was a day they provoked him. Paul now responded, say, do you think I don't have power to lead about? The way all of us who finish pastors, apostles conference, all of you going with your wives, say, like Obioma, that's good. And Paul will carry his this. Maybe if he's lucky, Timothy will carry his Bible for him. I say, man of God, let me escort you to your hotel. Because there's nobody. He's not. He says, are you sure this man? Because he's not even married. Is he supposed to be amongst us? He should be a deacon. Why are you calling him apostle? The man saying that thing has not won one community. One soul. But because he's close to Peter, they ordained him. You say, yeah. So this, even the things you are preaching, a pastor should be husband or wife, but you don't have wife. You are preaching against your own self. Shouldn't be here. You wait. It's just that Peter likes you, but maybe we may need to review. Maybe we'll bring your status. Maybe make you like a deacon or something. Just or elder. Just give you something that will make you feel important. Well, you are not supposed to be here. See, all of us are going now with our wives. No plan to marry. Nothing. I will not rest until I win every... See, don't come for this apostles meeting again. Go and win those people you want to win. Jesus said, some of you have been put in prison. And let me tell you, if you ever find yourself, praise the Lord, if you find yourself in any situation where you are being deprived of your right because you're a Christian, I want you to celebrate. Because Jesus said, while he was on earth, say, great will be your reward. I don't even think anybody gets cheated again, Pastor David. I'm not sure. In Nigeria, because of their faith. The Christian will say, you can't cheat me. I know why I'm in Christ. Before you cheat me, I will tell you why I'm in Christ. If I read Psalm 94 for you, 3 days. 3 days. Yeah, my badge. I finish you. You will know that the God that answered by fire is my God. I will show you if my father, Dr. Dick, you look at bad teacher. That way. By the time you start doing those, people start feeling like, this one, even if God does not defend me, we go to Satan and say, finish this man for me because I'm multiple. I've already promised. If I don't kill him, he will kill me. I bided for the contract. He says, because they know I'm very humble, I'm Christian. He said, I will not agree. Baba, do something. Because sometimes when you pray, God takes his time. So this one, I want it to be fast. Don't kill him. Just break one leg. There was one church like that. The pastor was provoked. He brought Betu out of his cassock. One CSC church in Ede. Betu, you know that one? The horn of with red something. He brought. Everybody cleared. Well, I'm talking, Where are you? Because I normally clear with two people. Is it that one you will tell that some of you will be cast into prison and he will say amen? When he has already planned out to protect himself. I bet, give me Bible. Oh, round up. Ask your pastor. He says, hope you are not part of those that is carrying betu. Then you remove your face, but say it. Because today, now, when we see you, the way you normally pray, we are not sure. Pastor, I hope it's not that. Ask him. So that if he's, in case his face changes, you know where to pray. Ask him. I don't care. Even if his name is Benka, ask him. I don't care. Ask him. Say, come. Pastor, you know I love you. Please, I just want to ask you. Did you add anything to this Jesus? I just want to be sure. Ah. Even if I skin my head like Pastor Tokwe, ask. Ask. People like Pastor David, they are the worst. Because his face is very gentle. He looks like an... Even if he was not born again, he already looks like an angel. So you have to ask him. Sorry, all of it that your face used to be looking very calm. Whose face is strong here? Yeah. All those people who their face are strong, leave them. Those ones are righteous. Oh yeah, let's round up. Give me that scripture. I just gave it down. I know these people, you have been frowned since I've been hitting you now. Everywhere. I just gave it down to calm down so people will not run away next Sunday. I said, that pastor, we don't know what happened to him. Every day is fire, Holy Ghost, fire. I said, so, share people have laughed now. Share you're happy. Can we go back to the message? He said, is there some of you because, oh God, have mercy on me. I have tried to stop this. Just preach your message and go and say that. Some of you will be tried and you shall have tribulation 10 days. That 10 days is 10 years because one day so this one year. He said, but be faithful. Jesus did not give them any guarantee they will come out alive. Ha! Imagine that. So let's assume Simna was Ikeja and Ephesus was Maryland. You now read the two letters. Won't you change your church? No, I'm just think. I know you don't like me, but when you saw the letter Jesus sent to your pastor and they read it, you now saw the one. You heard your friend tell you that in our church, that one was even good though. That Jesus just said we should be loving him. Say our own. At Lekki Church, Jesus said, some of us, but David in his mind is already saying, it's not his church. But David is already thinking of running back to Maryland on Sunday. The church member will be looking for him. Where's our pastor here? Pastor, we don't read letter. I mean, we should be praying for me so I can be serious. I remember that I put that scripture. These guys suffered. It's like having a church in Mushi with wood, and anytime it rains, it floods the whole church. And Jesus is telling them, be faithful unto death. Sometimes they will be in church, soldiers will come, pack some of them, take them to prison. They will not see them again. Like when I went to Mubi, and the president or the chairman of CAN or PFN, PFN was telling me that the last time they met like this, many of these women were here with their husbands. When Shekau came, the husbands that did not die, one hand was taken away. So you see some of the men in that building gathering after, because Shekau told them nobody must gather again. The first time they were gathering was when they invited me. So they were afraid for my life. They were afraid for their own life. There was a curfew that after so-so time in the evening, nobody should meet. When the Holy Spirit started moving, they made a proclamation that God brought this man from Lagos. The Holy Spirit is moving. We will break the curfew tomorrow morning. Everybody gathered. Do you know the fear upon my heart? That God used me the day before. People are risking their lives to come again. When the government said, because of security issue, nobody should come out at a certain time. And I came into the sea everywhere field. I said, God, you must touch these people. Oh. You must touch these people. Just ignore me. I know, sir, I don't get prayer life. But you must touch these people. Come and see the miracles that morning. Oof. It was not my anointing. It was their hunger. It was their hunger. There was a man of God, one of the most revered man of God in that area.
in Mubi for 20-something years. He could not wear shoes. Anytime he wears a jacket or suit, if he wears anything other than his slippers or sandals, he will not be able to stand in the midst of people. It's like the kind of problem we have in when demons are after you in Southwest. Anytime he wears cover shoe like this, one odor will start coming out from his body. Nobody will be able to stay in the church. You can't stay close to him. It's like being in close to the incinerator. This is a man with gray hair, serving the Lord, but having a condition nobody could explain. And while I was preaching, he just came to me and told me his problem. And I faced the chairman of president of PFN. I said, "Do you know him?" He said, "Ah, he's one of our fathers here." I just held his legs. I said, "Sir, do you believe? In Jesus' name, wear your shoes." And I stood with him. I told the secretary of PFN, "Come and smell his legs." They said, no odor. I called another person. "Do you know him?" He said, "No." I said, "Yeah, come and check." The man came that evening and shared his testimony. Ah, listen to me. We must lose our excuses. These are our excuses for not being faithful to God. He's doing more damage to us. These are our excuses for not being able to win soul. He's doing more damage. We are not faithful to him, and we are telling God to be faithful. What in God's agenda have you taken over and said, "God, this one, it will not fail in my hand"? Look at your prayer points in the last 6 months. Which of it has to do with God? He says, "Some of you, you will be cast into prison and you will die there." Put up the scripture. He said, "Be faithful to death. I'll meet you after then." Because Jesus knows, no matter how much you live here, it's just a drop of water in the eternal equation. Say, be faithful. So if you read this verse, what do you think, Pastor David, is God's interest in our lives? Does it sound like faithfulness? When God says be faithful, does that mean he knows that we are going to go through some trials? Does that mean he knows that we will say many prayers that we seem not to be answered? And yet, what is he saying to us? Be faithful. So the message for Pastor Tokwe for Sunday is, let us talk about faithfulness. We'll be faithful. Because now, if Jesus says we should be faithful to the end, it means it is not going to be something that will come naturally. We have to be taught. Perseverance. What verse was that? He said, "And I will give you the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches." Each of these cities, Ephesus, there was more than one church there. So the letter written there will be read in this parish, taken to Maryland. They will read it in Harvest World. They will take it to the next church, Global Harvest. They will read it. All the churches under that city of Ephesus, they will go one by one, read the letter, that one that Jesus gave to them. For Simna, they had many churches too. He said, "Look at this, what the Spirit says to the churches." So they didn't have one church. It was a thriving city. He said, "He that overcometh," oh glory. He said, "He shall not be hurt by what?" He shall not be hurt by what? This, you see, why many of us are trying to, "Pastor, pray, you should not die, you should not die." Look at what Jesus says you should worry about. The second death. Those who overcome will not need to worry about the second death. As we round up tonight, what are the key takeaways from the Church of Simna? Jesus started that exhortation by introducing himself as the first and the last. As he that died and rose. In other words, he's saying to us, "My children, remember who I was. Know who I am." Everything about our lives are already written in his books. There is nothing happening to you now that Jesus doesn't know. There are some of you seated here
the Lord will send you to countries like Poland. And did you hear what happened a few weeks ago at Antarctica? Who heard? Ah. What do you people do online? Some Pastor David Egbo, you didn't hear anything. So you know Antarctica is basically ice. Two friends, like adults, they decide to go. Is it hitchhiking? What do they call those things? So they travel to Antarctica. You know Antarctica, a lot of governments have their eyes there, world governments. They don't want anybody to come there. It's as if there's something that is being hidden there. These guys found their way there. Unfortunately, maybe the sun came out, or maybe something happened. You know, they have ice that goes into the sky, like mountains. Part of the ice now washed off. Do you know what they saw? They saw statues. You saw it? You saw it? Ah, this one, she resembles me. If I see those things now, I'll be sending it to you too. Anything I see now, I'll be sending it to you. Sometimes when I see those things, I don't know how people will respond if I put them on my status. So I just mind my bit. They saw, you didn't see gospel. Why? It's like something washed away the ice. They saw three men or so carved in ice. Huh? Like looking like Roman rulers. Huh? With their staff standing like this. Giants. Not a small statue. Like as tall as where that ice washed away from the ground. So they took. I saw it on TikTok. Go on TikTok and do a search on like some, maybe use Antarctica sightings. Just look. Can you, if you see anything, put it on the church WhatsApp group so that everybody can benefit. Just check. Eh? Something like sightings at Antarctica or something. The two friends had to start recording. Because there's nobody that will believe. You can't believe this. This, you are not even supposed to be here. So the question is, how old is that thing they saw? Who put it there? Is it possible that thousands of years ago, people lived there? Does this thing have anything to do with the Nephilim? That's the confirmation. That's my cue to stop. So while you may be sleeping here thinking that nothing is happening, there are signs. The Bible said there shall be signs and wonders in the heavens. There are signals, pointers, telling us that we are getting close to the end of the age. And there is one requirement that God will have for us, whether you're a pastor or a master or a reverend sister, is for us to be faithful. But do you know that if we all decide today to hold each other's hands and become accountable to each other, we will make it. If we all decide to be humble enough, if I decide to be humble enough so that Shadia can look at me and say, Pastor, what's this thing behind your back? Then the chances are higher that I will make it. This letter to the seven churches is like an open secret, like someone showing you the marking scheme before writing an exam. You can see what will be tested. For the Ephesian church, God tested their love life, among other things. For this Simeon church, God tested their faithfulness. So you already know that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And in terms of faithfulness, thou shalt have no other God besides me. That's where faithfulness starts from. It doesn't matter if the person is your father or your mother. You must not bend your knee to anything that looks like God, but it's not God. Even if it's in a church and they put a cross in the center and everybody must march forward, then get to the front of the cross and do like this. Sir, we are not doing it again. Why am I bowing down to a wooden cross? For what? You did it. You didn't ask. Okay, church is quiet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. I'm telling you that in the midst of all this nonsense, some of us, and I believe all of us, we rise up and say, no more. Idolatry starts from little things. If truly you love me, if truly you say you love me, you should be able to confront me in love. And if while you confronted me, I said, ha, Pastor Buki, it's true, then the burden of restoration is now placed on you. That's what most people don't know. That assignment to restore that brother officially has been given to you. If I open my heart and I say, ha, everything you said is true, you cannot sleep again until I am restored. And that's why Paul said, you who are trying to restore someone must do so in the spirit of meekness so that you also will not be tempted. So the Christian life doesn't give room for pride. You may be a doctor, PhD, SYD, whatever. It's good, praise God. But when we come here, I must be open to your rebuke. You must be open to my rebuke. And if peradventure, in the process of that rebuke, you ask me, is it true? And I said yes. Then you are now saddled with the burden of what? The burden of what? You didn't hear me. The burden of what? Whose job is it now to restore me? The person who is standing with me and talking to me. You must not leave that place without saying, Pastor, let us pray. If you are able to lead me to Christ and pray for me, you have won a brother Satan has lost. And you must know that today it might be my turn. Let's pray. Can you ask the Lord for grace? Can you ask him for strength? Can you ask the Lord for grace? Can you ask him for strength? Ask him for grace. The grace to be faithful in persecutions, during trials. The grace to be faithful to the end, to walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. The grace not to be a complainer. The grace to walk with him. Following the Lord may cost you. May cost you money. It costs a lot to come to church on Sunday. It costs a lot to come to church on Tuesday. But it costs a lot to come on Saturday and win a soul. Or try to preach to a soul. It takes a lot. I want us to ask for grace to be faithful. It takes the grace of God. It's not something we'll be able to do in our own strength. It's not something we'll be able to do in our own might. Let's ask the Lord. Are you praying or are you thinking? I want you to pray sincerely for yourself and just ask for the grace to preserve the brotherhood, to be an agent of restoration and grace in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we ask tonight that, Lord, you will start something new with us. You will restore our love for you. You will give us the grace to be faithful and to be humble enough when we are being rebuked. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, and we pray for all our friends, wherever they are, for those who are struggling. We ask for the spirit of restoration to find them. Lord, peradventure, we have ashes on our altar. We ask, Lord, tonight, that the restoration work will begin tonight. That you will begin to visit us until we are fully restored. We ask that in the name of Jesus, you will raise in us and through us in this church A people who are righteous, a people who love you, a people who are committed to you, and a people who are committed to the saints. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are online that, Lord, you will bless them and you would also strengthen them. Lord, we ask that the fruit of this message will be pleasing to you. It will cause you to be glad and you make us whole. In Jesus' mighty name.